Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm irritated. I'm in a bad mood today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm blaming Ben Dieter for this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Ben, I wished you had not told me. I know you tell me whenever there's breaking news that I want to hear about it. And you took that literally. But there are some things, Ben, that I probably did not need to know because it's going to ruin the show today.
Mm-hmm.
I am really frustrated by this. So we have been dealing with a big problem here in the Memphis area, and it's the same problem that's happening in New York City, where you've got over, 700, almost 800,000 illegal aliens living in New York City, and 60,000 of them are criminals, and crime is just off the chart. It's just unbelievable. As bad as it is in New York City, it is even worse in Memphis, Tennessee, where our population is, 1.3 million or so?
The city is only 600,000.
Right, but the metro area is 1.3 million.
It's not big.
It's not big, and not by, I mean, New York City comparisons, where you have, 14 million people living in the New York City metropolitan area. So we have been just devastated by these pro-criminal Democrats, and dare I say, the jackasses that we have elected to the city council and to the mayor's office. These people are pro-criminal, and there's really no other polite way to say it. But they have turned our city into a war zone, so much so that 200 yards from our broadcast bunker, which is heavily fortified, day before yesterday, and I don't know, I literally missed this by about 10 minutes, Ben. By about 10 minutes, I missed the shooting. We have a beautiful family-owned, brand-new, beautiful gas station, and it's a convenience store. And it's about 200 yards from our broadcast bunker. And it's a family-owned business, and they're so proud of it. It's one of the cleanest stores you will see. And we are in a very affluent area of Memphis. We're in the area is called East Memphis, very affluent. And you had a couple of teenage thuglings show up day before yesterday and just started opening fire.
And they said it was because they couldn't get cigars. That was the report.
So they couldn't get cigars.
And no kids smoke cigars, but it upset them.
Was it a 14 and a 17-year-old?
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
And then some poor guy gets shot. And
this is 200 feet from our station. I mean, it literally did quite significant damage to the gas station, which is beautiful.
Then they shot up the gas station.
Yeah.
So that happened day before yesterday, and now comes word, and this is where I'm getting to this. Ben, how could you share this information?
Can I insert the programming note? There is a rule of thumb in Todd's newsroom, which if it's bad news, don't tell Todd before the show. You can tell Todd Starnes things that might make him a little bit upset, grumpy, you guys, only after the show, because he has to be focused. And let me just say, when I saw this headline, I shrieked. And I looked at the team here, Dylan, Cassie. I said, do we tell Todd? I mean, I was Todd's going to die. And you quite literally almost croaked downstairs.
My favorite restaurant in Memphis is called Houston's. And it's a pretty nice upscale restaurant, but it's not too hoity-toity, right? But it's a great place. I go there probably twice a week, all right? I go there a lot. And it's just
you have your own booth, basically.
Yes, they know me by name. You know, it's one of those places, and it's a very popular place, and it is in East Memphis. And they have announced, effective immediately, they are shutting down. The reason they're doing that is because of public safety concerns. And this is it angers me because there are some fine people. And, you know, whenever I go out to a restaurant, my rule of thumb is I always tip the bill. So if the bill is, I don't know, $100, they get $100 tip. Mm-hmm. That's just how I am. And it doesn't matter where we go. And so I've got to know the waiters, and it's kind of funny because they do kind of fight. They used to fight over who gets starns because they know they're going to get a good tip. And all those people don't have jobs now. We're talking about dozens of people that are now unemployed because our damn city council and our government leaders won't address crime. Instead, what do? They blank around and they say, oh, it's a perception problem. Or even worse, how dare you, racist? Well, it's not my fault that 90% of the crime in Memphis, Tennessee is committed by black people. That's not my problem. So all you damn black pastors out there who get up and use your pulpits to spew racism, why don't you tell people to start following the golden rule? Why don't you start telling them to follow the 10 freaking commandments? I'm sick and tired of it. And again, the issue here, ladies and gentlemen, it's an issue that many blue cities across this nation are dealing with, is that they are coddling these criminals. And if you dare speak out, they call you a racist. Well, I don't play that game. And it seems to me that maybe the racist are the people on the city council that are turning a blind eye when these businesses are being literally run out of town. And I've got news for all you people out there in the suburbs of Memphis, Tennessee. They're coming after you next because, Ben, what happened? They didn't address the crime in downtown Memphis, and then it spilled over into Midtown, and now it is right here in East Memphis, and it's soon coming to all of the suburbs. And when they finish pillaging and plundering the suburbs, they're coming after all you folks in the outlying counties. And let me tell you something. It's not just Memphis or New York City. This is happening all over the country. And, Ben, unless here's the even bigger problem. We have feckless, neutered Republicans in this community who don't even have the courage, the moral courage, to stand up and say anything because they're afraid of losing their government contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I am angry about this. They had the great chicken tenders, dadgummit.
And the best spinach dip.
Great spinach dip.
In America.
Too. Bastards.
This is the one morning Todd's, or I guess afternoon, Todd's going to get away with saying some naughty words.
I'm just, at what point do the people rise up? At what point did they say, you know what, enough of this racism?
They didn't like this restaurant because what did this restaurant have? Standards.
They did have standards.
They were defamed. The owners of this institution, this restaurant that is so well loved and well attended. Honestly, you drive past this restaurant every night. There's a waiting list. They have been defamed as being racist.
And why is that, Ben?
Because they said you can't smell like marijuana.
You can't smell like marijuana.
It was all over the paper. I mean, it got national news. This is a racist restaurant because they cracked down on people smelling like marijuana and smoking pot in the parking lot.
So right next door to that is the Whole Foods, but they don't call it Whole Foods here. They call it Whole Foods. You want to know why they call it Whole Foods? Because they got all these prostitutes and criminals in the parking lot. It's ridiculous. And nobody does anything about it.
So the mayor is not going to care if this restaurant closes. Why? Well, because it's the wrong group of people. They don't care about these folks.
No, they don't. They're the wrong color.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but that's the reality here. No, I'm not sorry. We say what needs to be said on this radio program. Folks, I am just so angry over this, and it frustrates me because Memphis could be a beautiful town, and it's beautiful people here. It's a great town, but we are literally being overrun by the criminals. And honest to goodness, what we need here is an America First political party that is willing to confront these Democrats. I kid you not, I was at an event. I will not name names, but I decided to go out, and it was one of these sign-holding events for the campaign, the presidential campaign, and they had all these Democrats come over. They started chanting, so I started chanting back. Oh, we don't do that. This is Memphis. We're very polite people here. So, just let the Democrats do it. Forget that. The Democrats are the ones out there calling all of you Republicans racist and xenophobes and homophobes. You don't want to chop off a two-year-old's penis? What's wrong with you, you transphobic bigot? That's what they're calling
you. You can't say that at croquet clubs, Todd. Todd's very good at croquet, by the way.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Well, you're going to have to start using the mallets as weapons. You know what's going to happen? They're going to start doing the carjackings at the Republican Party's cocktail parties.
Mm-hmm. That's all those what's golf courses, all those golf carts are going to be carjacked.
They're coming after everybody.
Yeah.
I am so upset about this, ladies and gentlemen.
You guys don't understand. If you drive past Houston, you will see the caddy, and you will see Todd sitting there over in the corner booth. It's his own booth, and he's eating spinach dip, and they're chicken.
Good food. I'm just disgusted by this.
And I'm sorry for ruining
you can't even go to Popeye's because you're getting carjacked in the drive-thru. So, I mean, there are only limited places where you can get gas or food in Memphis
this
anymore
is the
and be
safest,
safe.
This is the safest part of our city, and it's closed due to crime. Here's what they said. After much deliberation, we have closed our Memphis, Houston's. Regretfully, the operating environment in the vicinity has become increasingly difficult over the years because of public safety. While we know that this development will be disappointing to many of our guests, it is a decision that we did not make lightly. We would like to thank our guests and their support through the years, and we hope to have an opportunity to serve you in the future.
I want to start a militia.
Okay.
We've got to start a militia. That's if the police department's not going to protect us, if City Hall is not going to protect us. By the way, we need to call what needs to happen here in all seriousness, folks. We have, 48 gangs is what they announced. 48 gangs now operating in Memphis, Tennessee. When the mayor got elected, the first meeting he held was with gang leaders. I'm curious, what exactly did the mayor tell those gang leaders? Did the mayor say, we're going to let you run the city and we're just going to turn a blind eye? Is the mayor getting cash under the table from the gangsters? Is that what's going down here? I'm curious to know what that meeting was all about. We have 48 gangs operating here.
And that's not even including the Venezuelan.
The Venezuelan gangs.
Yeah.
Buenos dias. I wonder if they're down at Tacos and Guant anyway. I wonder if it's time, and I'm curious to hear from our Memphis audience here. Bear with me. We're gonna get to the national stories. Folks, I am just fired up over this.
An attack against Houston is an attack on the nation. Bear with us. We're in grieving.
I wonder if the governor needs to step in and hear me on this, because crime is so far off the charts that they need to declare martial law in Shelby County, Tennessee, and Memphis. Declare martial law, bring in the military, root out these gangs. And if it is street by street open warfare, then so be it. I think there are a lot of law abiding gun owners who would be willing to be deputized. Because God forbid, what happens next? Rendezvous? Is that going to be the next business to close, or Central Barbecue?
Don't come after the Peabody.
What about the Ducks? I'm shocked they're still alive.
I'm shocked they're not being eaten by the Venezuelan gang members.
I'm telling you.
It's bad.
Look, it is bad here. Businesses are shutting down all over the city. People are literally fleeing. You know, they talk about Memphis is a rising. No, the only thing rising here is the crime, because people are literally moving out of the city. We have lost thousands and thousands of people here in our city that have moved away.
Meanwhile, guess what our city leaders are currently holding a press conference on?
I'm all ears.
Biden's DOJ just found in a new bombshell report dropped today that Memphis police are racist.
Oh, my God. It's also those honkies, those white people, those honkies on the police force. I knew it. They're intentionally pulling over all of these black people. Those nasty, racist Klan member honkies. But it turns out, and this wasn't in the story that the Associated Press wrote about Memphis, and this is a big national news story. They failed to mention that 90% of the crime committed in Memphis is actually committed by people of the non-Caucasian persuasion. Also, the police chief in Memphis is black. The mayor of Memphis is black. Most of the police management force is black. And almost 60% of the police force itself is black. They left all those items, all of those truths out of the national news coverage, because they want you to think that a bunch of white police officers in Memphis are running around just intentionally arresting black people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're saying it was Tyre Nichols, right? The Tyre Nichols thing where he was killed, basically beaten
by officers.
By officers. They didn't tell you that those officers happened to be, drumroll please,
not white.
That's right. They were black officers. They leave those details out. Again, they've got a narrative here. And ultimately, this is the reality. Yes, white people are being victimized by crime here, but the majority of people being victimized by crime in Memphis, Tennessee are law-abiding black people. And they don't care. They don't care. So my question now is, does City Hall have some sort of an under-the-table agreement with these gangs? Are they getting kickbacks? And is that the reason why the gangs are being left untouched? That's what I want to know. And now I'm trying to figure out where to go for dinner tonight. Unbelievable. Oh, we got to take a break. Folks, I am sorry. I am really fired up over this.
I guess you could ask people for new restaurant recommendations.
Some place where you can open carry. 901-260-5926. I mean, our Memphis listeners, are you guys just fed up with this? And by the way, you folks in Mississippi, you better get ready because they're coming to your town too. And they're going to... At some point, you have to stand and fight. And that's why I'm just so disappointed in the Republicans here in this part of the state. I have just, you know, I've given money to these people. It's just really heartbreaking to know there is not a political party that's willing to stand up for business owners and law-abiding citizens here in this part of the country. Maybe we need a new political party, the America First Party. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher. And you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Greensburg, Indiana. Steve is on the line. All right, Steve, I understand you have a theory about this restaurant closing.
Well, I was listening to your conversation on the radio. It sounds like to me that maybe these gangs are going to see these business owners and for protection money. I've seen on television, so I'll give you the idea. It sort of sounds that way to me.
It could be. I think the issue here, though, is at least in Memphis, and we've seen this in New York City and Chicago, where the criminals are being arrested, but then you have these judges and the district attorneys, and they're just letting these thugs right back out onto the streets. And the gang members aren't stupid, Steve. You know, they know that, you know, they're not going to be spending any time in jail.
Maybe they're in on it, or they're getting a part of the collection.
Steve, I'm with you 1,000% there. I do wonder now. I really do, because what other benefit does it have for the city, for a city like Memphis or any other town in America, to be completely disrupted and destroyed? It makes no sense unless you're getting some money under the table.
Well, if that store owner would tell you that he's closing because he doesn't want to pay the protection.
Steve,
it has something.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we're going to look into that. Steve, good thought, good call, and thank you for listening to us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we are going to be following this crazy story out of the Big Apple where you had the Marine veteran, Daniel Penny, who is now waiting to find out if he's going to prison because he was a hero on the subway. Also, We're going to be following up with that crazy Supreme Court case. We're going to be talking with one of the state lawmakers that was heavily involved in that. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list. From bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free.
I would say is nobody has to provide this medication to adolescents. These are not doctors being forced to provide this medication. These are doctors who are wanting to treat their patients in the best way that they know how, based on the best available evidence to us. And these are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are, who suffered for 6-7 years before they had any relief. And what's happening here, it's not the kids who are consenting to this treatment, it's the parents who are consenting to the treatment. And as a parent, I would say, when our children are suffering, we are suffering. And these are parents who love their children, who are listening to the advice of their doctors, of the mainstream medical community, and doing what's right for their kids, and the state of Tennessee has displaced their judgment.
All right. That was the bearded female ACLU attorney, and her name is Chase Strangio, and certainly Strangio is appropriate here, ladies and gentlemen, on CNN the day before yesterday's Supreme Court arguments regarding these transgender surgeries and puberty blockers, and the fact that we're having a conversation, and this woman literally believes that two-year-olds have the mental bandwidth to determine whether or not they are transgender. Well, the Supreme Court taking up a case that was originated right here in Tennessee, thanks to the legislation of my next guest. He is the Senate Majority Leader in Tennessee, Jack Johnson. Senator, good to have you with us here in our Memphis studio.
Well, thanks, Todd. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So you were there yesterday at the Supreme Court. You were actually inside the building. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. I've never been in the United States Supreme Court building, I don't think, even on a tour. I've been to Washington many times. I've toured the Capitol, the White House, and those things, but I've never been in the Supreme Court building. So walking in there with my House sponsor of this legislation, William Lamberth from Sumner County here in Tennessee, we walked in, we looked at each other and said, well, we've kind of created a little dust up here with our legislation.
Just a little bit. Well, let's take people back to the origins of all of this. And a lot of it has to do with the reporting of our good friend Matt Walsh.
Yes.
And what was happening at the Vanderbilt Medical Center.
Exactly. So in late 2022, due to some excellent reporting from the Daily Wire and Matt Walsh and others at the Daily Wire, it was uncovered that, yes, that prominent medical facility right there in Middle Tennessee, in the Nashville area, had a dedicated clinic, dedicated to pediatric transgender surgeries and obviously prescription of these very harmful drugs. That created an outcry from one end of Tennessee to the other. And so we got to work immediately in crafting legislation that we introduced in 2023. Of course, it passed overwhelmingly. We have good conservative supermajorities here in Tennessee. Grateful for that. It was promptly signed into law by Governor Bill Lee. We figured we would probably get sued. We did get sued by the Biden Department of Justice and the ACLU, and it's made its way. Now, the good news is, Todd, that the law is in effect right now. Kids are protected in Tennessee because the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals did uphold our law.
It's shocking because when you listen to the attorney who argued, and she made history by being the first transgender attorney to argue before the court, her argument is that children as young as 8 years old should be able to have these kinds of surgeries, and mommy and daddy should almost be taken out of the equation here. Did you ever imagine that we would be in a place in this country where that would actually you know, possibly become the law of the land.
No, in fact, I've made that comment several times. I've had the good honor of serving in the Tennessee State Senate for 18 years now. And if you'd have told me as 10 years ago that I would have to introduce legislation to prohibit removing body parts of a child because of something called gender dysphoria. And let me be clear, I recognize that kids do go through difficult times in puberty and adolescence. But the answer to that is not to perform irreversible surgeries or to prescribe medications that will have irreversible negative implications.
Which, again, is why there are laws on the books determining, well, you've got to have parental permission to get a tattoo or to get your ears pierced. And yet you've got these radicals out there saying that there should be no parental involvement in some of these cases related to the LGBT community.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And listen, at the end of the day, the state has a compelling interest. All states do. I serve in the Tennessee legislature. States have a compelling interest to protect children, and you gave some great examples. And I'm all for parental rights, but we don't let parents abuse their kids. We don't let them starve their kids. There are guardrails. And this legislation is not necessarily directed at parents as much as it is the medical providers who would perform these surgeries or prescribe these harmful drugs.
And again, correct me here if I'm wrong, but the argument coming from the other side is if you do not allow a child to have this procedure, they could end up killing themselves and committing suicide. And I know that was part of the argument, the arguments before the court yesterday.
It was. And so we did a lot of research into this and talked to a lot of mental health professionals, medical professionals when we were considering this legislation. And what you find is that those who do go through some type of a transition procedure or process actually end up having a very high suicide rate as well. And what it fundamentally boils down to, in my view, is the answer to a child who is struggling with their body and the development of their body is not to perform surgery or prescribe medications that will have irreversible effects. It's to provide good mental health treatment, counseling, love and support, hopefully in a good, strong family and community, get that child through that difficult time. And our law is strictly, the prohibition is strictly for kids. We recognize you as an adult at the age of 18. If on your 18th birthday you want to go start taking medication or have some procedure and remove a body part, you can do so, but we shouldn't be doing it to children.
What's going on here? Why do you think this is all being directed at the children? I mean, we've seen this with the drag mm-hmm. queen story times, the books, the controversial books in school libraries. What should we read into all of this?
Well, there are a lot of different theories about it, and I think it's a combination of things. I think these devices, I'm holding up my Apple iPhone here, that these kids are addicted to, and there's all kinds of influences, negative influences on social media and otherwise. I also think that there are some in the transgender community, the LGBTQ community, who recruit, who encourage, some people use the term grooming of these kids, and it messes with their minds, and so we just have to draw very, very strict guardrails in terms of, you know, what medical providers will be able to do to kids who are going through that.
State Majority Leader here in Tennessee, Jack Johnson, joining us. It was his legislation passed in 2023 that led to yesterday's big Supreme Court case. And I understand this is, a lot of folks don't realize that there are sometimes a case will go before the Supreme Court and it will only be specific towards that particular incident. But this is going to be a landmark ruling. And tell our listeners what that means.
Yeah, so we're up to, I think, 25 or 26 states now who have passed some variation of a prohibition on these surgeries and use of these drugs on kids for purposes of treating gender dysphoria. So a lot of states have have passed laws. A number of them have been sued. Some have been enjoined. Different circuit courts of appeals have rendered different decisions. And so that sets it up for the United States Supreme Court to decide if they want to grant cert, excuse me, and take up the case. We found out a few months ago that, in fact, they had decided to take up our case, and the case is U.S. versus Scrimeti, Jonathan Scrimeti, our attorney general. And in fact, our law and also a law passed in Kentucky, but we're kind of the lead on this. And it was our legislation that we were talking about yesterday at the Supreme Court. And the determination of whether states have the right to pass this type of legislation. So the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals decided that we do. They affirmed our law. And let's hope the Supreme Court agrees.
So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the questions that were asked. I think Justice Alito was pretty animated. What was that experience like?
Well, again, it was just fascinating to be sitting there listening to these nine U.S. Supreme Court justices up there on the dais talking to the presenters. The Solicitor General for the state of Tennessee, Matt Rice, argued.
He did a great job.
He really did. And I know Matt, and he's a brilliant lawyer. He did a good job. You had the U.S. Solicitor General and then the other individual from the ACLU that argued on behalf of the plaintiffs. And so just watching the justices and what was important to them, you had Kavanaugh that went down a particular line of questioning. You had Amy Coney Barrett. You mentioned Justice Alito. It was really, really interesting. It's interesting to me that Justice Neil Gorsuch did not say a word. He didn't ask a single question.
Justice Jackson, who could not define what a woman was during her confirmation hearing, she, of course, inserted race into all of this. I was not terribly surprised by that.
I could not understand her line of reasoning, and she was trying to draw a correlation between interracial marriage and performing these surgeries and prescribing these drugs to kids or the ability to do so. And I didn't. Part of the argument on the behalf of the plaintiffs is that our law is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment. I don't see that. Obviously, General Scrimeti and our attorneys don't see that either. That's the case that the plaintiffs are trying to make. And somehow Justice Jackson was trying to correlate that with interracial marriage.
It seems the general train of thought here across the board, even in a lot of the left-leaning newspapers, is that that Tennessee proved its case. And, you know, it looks like it's going to be a good day for you guys. Is that the takeaway?
It is. I don't want to get my hopes up too much. You know, it's kind of like Election Day on November 5th. I was feeling pretty optimistic, but I didn't want to get too excited about it. We do, and your legal scholars that you have read about in the press or seen on TV, they agree with your analysis of that. And so I'm hopeful. I think we can count on three votes for the plaintiffs, and that would be the three liberal justices that are on the court. Among the remaining six, we got to get five, but I'm hoping for a 6-3 decision.
You know what I find fascinating about this? Immediately after yesterday's proceedings, they all meet behind the court, and they actually vote.
Yes.
So they already know how this is going to go, and then they spend the rest of the time writing their opinions.
Writing the opinion and then deciding when to release it. So it's a big day, and I'm just so proud of Tennessee that we are again leading the nation. We do in so many different ways, but we're hopeful for a good outcome.
All right. Well, Senator, before we let you go, there was a report that came out that showed in the presidential election, every single county in Tennessee actually had an increase in the number of Republican votes.
That's right.
What do you make of that?
Well, I'm encouraged by it because, as you know, Tennessee is one of the fastest growing states in America, one of the most moved to states in America. And so you wonder what that's going to do to your voting demographics. We're a very conservative state here in Tennessee. We have Republican supermajorities in our General Assembly, and we want to keep it that way. So when you have so many people moving in from California, Illinois, New York, you wonder if that's going to start to change. Are we going to start to lose some of our reddish hue and turn a little more purple? But we didn't see that. In fact, it went the other direction.
I'm glad, because that did happen in North Carolina, our neighbors to the east there, and we don't want that. You can come to our beautiful state, just leave your politics at home, is the general rule of thumb.
I ran into someone from California. They had a great line, a very conservative individual that got tired of the leftist policies in California, moved to Tennessee, and he said, "Trust me, I'm a refugee, not a missionary. So I'm fleeing something, not one to bring something to Tennessee."
Yeah, because we see what they're doing to Nash. We call it Nash Vegas now.
Yes,
so
yes.
All right, good stuff. Well, congratulations, Senator.
Thanks, Todd.
What an exciting thing. And thank you for taking a stand.
Absolutely. I'm proud to do it.
All right. Senator Jack Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, here in our studios. Hang tight. We've got to take a quick break. We're going back to the phones. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. from routine checkups to unexpected emergencies. With ShareRite, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRite is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right. Well done, Tennessee. And we got to protect the children, ladies and gentlemen. We just have to. Let's go to the phones, working some calls here. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Lonnie in Collierville, Tennessee. Hi, Lonnie. What's on your mind today?
I can't believe it, Todd. I've been listening to you for years. After Rush and everything, I figured you was the man. But I'm concerned. I was talking to my wife. I saw the Tyree Nichols trial thing, and I said to my wife, you know what? They're going to keep racism alive here in Memphis and in Tennessee. I thought people had gotten paid. I thought the people that had done the evil had been put in prison. But when things like this are dragged out, it makes it seem like, oh, Memphis is so racist.
Well, it does make you wonder what's going on, right, Lonnie? I mean, look, those officers, there's video evidence. It is very clear that they beat that man to death. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. They beat the man to death. Those officers need to pay the price for that. It doesn't matter if they're black or white in this case, though. And again, the DOJ comes in and says the Memphis Police Department's racist, and they're using the Tyree Nichols case. The implication is that the officers who did the beating were all white, and that's just simply not correct.
I thought we had a black female over
police chief.
Police,
yeah, yes, Lonnie, you are correct.
I
we do,
we
sir.
Had a black mayor.
Yeah, I know. Shocker, Lonnie. It's a shocker.
How can we have all these black people in power and we're racist?
Well, Lonnie, it's a head scratcher, my friend.
And then when we talk about Kamala, okay, how is America racist, and how is it that racist people put Trump in when she was vice president and she was black? She was black then. Why didn't they celebrate the fact that, hey, we have had the first female, and she was black, and she was vice president? How come we didn't hear that?
Lonnie, it's a great question, and I do wonder, and we see this in Whitehaven, which is where my family's from. You know, my father was born and raised there, and now it's really become a central hub for the thriving black middle class in Memphis. And, you know, you see business owners coming out and saying, you know, we've got to stop this racist nonsense. This is not about race. This is about protecting our businesses. This is about growing our businesses, making sure our kids are in good schools and they're learning, Lonnie.
Yeah, yes. Last thing I want to say is I'm so glad that we got common sense in Tennessee, our governor, our legislation, House of Representatives, and the Senate. And we ain't buying this crap. Even with the transgender thing, okay, if you want to be an adult and you want to mess up your body and everything, hey, but I don't want to pay for it.
Lonnie, I'm with you on that. And look, you're 18 years old. The Constitution gives you the right to do what you want to do as long as I don't have to pay for it. But Lonnie, it's heartbreaking to see these children that, you know, there are things being done to them that are irreversible. And that is heartbreaking to see that happening.
Can I say one more thing, Todd?
Yes, sir.
Look like the greater Memphis area and Tennessee will learn something by the last election, even for Senate. Ms. Johnson ran against Marsha.
Oh, yes. Gloria Johnson, the Democrat. Yes, sir.
Yeah, she was the one that stood with Tennessee 3 or something like that.
That's right. Again, you know what it is, Lonnie? They know that the left knows that race is like the third rail. And for a lot of people, they really buy into all of that. And I hate that because I see what that does. And it's just not right. And it's not the reality of it. So anyway, Lonnie, you got to give us a holler back one of these days. Will you promise to do that?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you for having me on.
Lonnie, God bless you. Lives in Collierville, Tennessee. A great town, by the way, folks. Got to check. I wish maybe Houston's could open up a restaurant there. I mean, maybe that would be an option. I don't know. All right. Yeah, Dieter, I feel bad. I use language that I normally don't use, but we're talking about Houston's for crying out loud. All right, coming up, we have got a lot going on nationally. We're going to be checking in on the Pete Hegseth nomination. Folks, what you did yesterday moved the needle. It really did. But we've got to keep up the pressure, and we've got to tell these Republican senators they've got to do the right thing here, and they've got to push through all of President Trump's nominees, period. All right, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls as well. I see Sonny in Ocala, Florida. OG Bill, I think, called. Hang tight, everybody. We're going to get to your calls. 901-260-5926. And by the way, what are those UFOs doing over New Jersey? What's going on there? We have an update on that story as well. All right, we'll be right back, America.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour two underway. Trust you are doing well today. If you would like to become a part of today's program, I need you to write this telephone number down. You will need it to call 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have our good friend from Florida's Sun Coast hanging out with us, Congressman Greg Stube. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Congressman, we understand that a little bit later on this afternoon, you're going to be meeting with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and the Department of Government Efficiency. Honestly, there are so many things to be excited about in the upcoming administration, but I'm pretty darn excited about DOGE. What about you?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. And I assume that Elon and Vivek are going to give the House kind of an overview of what their plans are strategically and kind of what their thinking is as we go into the president being sworn in on January 20th, and then how that interplays with what we do in the House. Obviously, I support massive reductions in our federal workforce, massive reductions in the bureaucracy that we have up in Washington, massive reductions in spending. We're $36 trillion in debt, and we don't have a lot to show for it. So I think that they're out-of-the-box thinking, especially with Elon's experience in business, I think will really revolutionize and strategize the way that our government should function and how we should streamline how the government in Washington works.
You know, Congressman, I know that the other side is saying, oh, this is going to be devastating. It's going to take forever to get all these things through. I would disagree with that. I think you could probably go through in an afternoon and find some pretty immediate savings. I'm thinking the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that's $500 million that we could take off the ledger.
Yeah, the Department of Education. I mean, President Trump has talked about that. I've co-sponsored bills to do away with that. Those are the type of functions that should be done at the state level, not at the federal level. Why are we paying bureaucrats an average of $100,000 a year to come up with policy when we have states that do the policy for their states and then school boards that have the authority to implement school policy in their different counties? So I think there's a lot of areas for reform. The federal government has gotten so massive over our history, and it just keeps growing. It doesn't go back in time. I mean, even things I vote against on the floor in suspension bills is creating new task force and creating more government, and we should be going the opposite direction, especially with the debt that we are facing as a country.
10,000% accurate, Congressman, and so I'm excited to see what they've come up with. And I know, are you going to be going into the meeting? Are you going to give Elon a list? Here are some of the things that I think we need to be getting rid of. Do you have a list ready to go?
I have had things that I've thought for years that shouldn't be done at the federal level. That's a state purview, like the Department of Education. My assumption is we're going to hear from them, and then there'll probably be a short period of time for members to ask questions. I'm excited to see what they're going to come up with. And actually, once Trump takes office and they're able to get into all of the records and see the mismanagement, see the fraud, waste, and abuse, I mean, the 80,000 IRS agents that Biden just put in place, all these type of things that can be drastically reformed. I think they can look at all of these different agencies. Just the USDA has 100,000 employees. What are they all doing? And are they all here up in Washington? And one of the things that some of the FBI stuff, there's 7,000 agents that work up here. And one of the things that Kash Patel wants to do is push those agents out to actually do law enforcement in our country, which is what they're supposed to be doing. So I think there's a lot of things in every facet of our government that they will be able to look at and be able to make the determination that this needs to be trimmed. And then Congress, with President Trump's leadership, is going to have to make that decision to pass those bills to cut it so that in the future it's not brought back and grown back to the size that it is now.
Yeah, Congressman, moving on, and you mentioned, for example, Kash Patel. President Trump also has a host of nominees he's already named, including Pete Hegseth. Pete and I worked together for a number of years at Fox. His wife was my executive producer. Our offices were right next door. And I'm telling you, the Pete Hegseth they're writing about using all these anonymous sources, I don't recognize that guy. That's not the guy that I knew at Fox News Channel.
Well, and he just came and spoke to the Republican Study Committee yesterday, and I think one of the points that is being lost in the mainstream media and lost to the American people is all of these, just like you said, are anonymous complaints, if you will, and allegations, if you will, that are not substantiated by fact. None of these people are willing to come forward and say this actually happened. So you have what kind of happened to Kavanaugh. You saw what happened to Matt Gaetz. The mainstream media will stop at nothing to stop President Trump to fulfill his agenda. And if the president wants Pete Hegseth at the head of the Department of Defense, then that's the president's choice to put that there. We have a Republican Senate. The Republican Senate should heed to the president for him to get his nominee and to be able to do the things that President Trump ran on. President Trump got elected by the American people to do the type of things that Pete Hegseth and his other nominees are going to do in these different agencies. And of course, the mainstream media and the swamp will try to do anything to try to prevent that from happening, and we can't let that happen.
No, we can't. And I really do hope, and I'm frustrated by some of the things coming out of the Senate. As a matter of fact, here is Joni Ernst. Guys, let's play cut number four, please.
Okay, it doesn't sound on your answer that you've gotten to a yes. If I'm wrong about that, correct me. And if that is the case, it sounds to me as if the hearing will be critical for his nomination. Am I right about that?
I think you are right. I think for a number of our senators, they want to make sure that any allegations have been cleared, and that's why we have to have a very thorough vetting process. And that's why I was happy to sit down with Pete and have that conversation with him yesterday. So again, all I will say at this time is that we did have a very thorough discussion over a number of those issues, and the vetting will continue, I am certain, through the next month or so until we approach that hearing date. And
Congressman, you heard the senator there, and there's some speculation that she actually wants the job of defense secretary. But my point is, this is pretty black and white to me, and correct me if I'm wrong. If President Trump wants the nominee, he ought to get the nominee.
I agree 100%. If that's the that's who President Trump wants to put in those different places, he should have the authority as president to do that. Republican senators should stand behind him. If there's criminal conduct that was going on and there's a record of that, that's different. There's no criminal conduct here. These allegations are from anonymous sources. There's no factual basis for a lot of these things, because one of the rights that we have as Americans is to confront your accuser in our Constitution. And you can't even do that because these allegations are anonymous. So I think you absolutely should have the hearing. I'm very encouraged by the fact that Pete is willing to fight and continue, not just give up, because that's exactly what the mainstream media and the swamp want him to do, is throw all this stuff at him and he quit, and then they go to the next person, and then that person's going to be the target, and then they're going to try to throw all this stuff at them until they quit. And we can't let that happen. And I think that it needs to move forward, have a Senate hearing, and if there's not any factual basis to back any of this up, and again, some of this is personal. A lot of this is personal things that occurred, and we're talking about somebody that's going to be leading the Department of Defense. We should talk about their military service, what they plan on doing in that position. And obviously, the president has a lot of trust in Pete, which is why he named him. And I think that should go a long way with the senators.
You know, and not only that, all of these folks, they voted, these Republicans voted for Merrick Garland, and if they can vote for Merrick Garland, I don't care who Trump is putting up, they can vote for that individual.
Yeah, Merrick Garland, Austin, all yeah. these people that have destroyed our military, Blinken and Secretary of State, who has a horrible record as Secretary that was in charge of Afghanistan, that's okay. And none of these people have been held accountable for any of the things that they've done. And suddenly, because Trump gets elected, the swamp is trying to push back. So I think we need to continue. I'm glad to hear that Pete is not willing to quit. He's going to move forward and put the senators on the board and let them be accountable to the American people in their districts for refusing to move along with what the president wants to do and get his agenda done.
Well said. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I know you've had a super busy day, and looking forward to hearing what happens in that meeting later this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there you go, folks. Congressman Greg Stube out of Florida. And again, it is a black and white issue for me, folks. Trump wants the person. Trump gets the person. After what this man has been through, and what this country has put this man through, what the media has put this man through, Trump gets whatever he wants. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Maine. Is it Kate Elizabeth?
Yes.
All right, Kate Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
I wanted to thank you for encouraging me to call my senator yesterday. I called her, Susan Collins. I did get a recording, but other times I've gotten a live person, and I am strongly in favor of Pete Hegseth. I'm reading the book, The War on Warriors, he wrote, and I was thinking of giving it to them, lending it to Susan Collins, Senator Collins, but I don't want to finish. It's so helpful. This man is a real military man. I don't know about Austin or Millie. They sure didn't seem like they were up to the job. But this man knows what he's doing, and I'm so hoping that he gets through. What a military man.
I'm with you, Helene, and I got a quick question for you. So you called Susan Collins' office. Did you get any response? Did it go to voicemail?
It went to voicemail. I was thinking of calling back today and saying, I just wanted to make sure you got my message because I didn't speak with someone live. I did call them 2 weeks ago, and I got someone live. So, but you encouraged me to call again yesterday, so I did. And I will call again and say I want to make sure you got my message.
I am so glad you did, Helene, and that's what it's going to take. Every single one of us, we've got to work the phones. And you know what? It's really, we've got to lobby on behalf of Pete Hegseth. That's what we have to do. And really all the president's nominees. But right now, Hegseth and Joni Ernst especially, she's wanting that job. That's why she's pulling this nonsense. And that's got it. We've just got to put a stop to that.
Tell him to read the book. You read this book and you know why President Trump wants him in there. Mm. He's so competent in comparison with Austin, Millie, all these other people.
All right. Well, Helene, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening, and all of our folks listening to us on WLOB, don't forget, download our app so you'll be able to listen to the Todd Stearns Radio Show wherever you are in America. All right, let's go to Sonny in Ocala, Florida, WOCA, our terrific affiliate there. Hi, Sonny, what's going on?
I agree, but I also think that the Republicans helped put Biden into office. I mean, have we all forgotten that tremendous statement he made? It was on TV, radio, whatever. Get rid of that persecutor, get rid of that prosecutor, or you're not getting your $1 billion in foreign aid. That should have alone should have prevented that man from occupying the White House. You got the likes of Senator Thune, who now thinks he's going to be the leader of the Senate, who is questioning the idea that maybe Pete Hegseth shouldn't be on the president's cabinet. Where does he get off? The Republicans are Republicans only. Take the word Democrat, spell it out on a piece of paper with a pencil with an eraser. Erase the C in Democrat and tell me what you got. I mean, this is what's running our country, even though they know they're going to be pushed out in January 20th. January 3rd, I think Congress takes over, but it doesn't stop them. Why isn't anybody going after this Garland for taking his number three man and sending him to Washington, trying to put Trump in jail?
It's a terrific question, Sonny. And again, I hope the new Congress is going to be able to tackle this, and because these people need to be held accountable. And that was the whole point of all these hearings, right? The Jim Jordan, James Comer, the whole nine yards. We were supposed to be out there. These people were supposed to be held accountable, and they were never held accountable. So, yeah. It's one of the major issues that we've got to address, this weaponization of the federal government that's been happening under the Democrat regime. Sonny, it is a great call. I've got to leave it there, my friend. We are super late for a break. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm gonna need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's start in Georgia. Baxton is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Baxton. What's on your mind?
Todd, the Republicans, it just came to me like a shot in my brain. The Republicans remind me of those Pharisees that came to Jesus with the woman caught in adultery.
Oh.
Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I do remember that story, yes.
And Jesus, he asked her and talked to her and everything like that. But you know what it first did? He bent down and he started writing in the sand. And he said, he without sin, let them cast the first stone. And the Bible says they left one by one. Do you know why they left one by one? In all my belief, I believe he was writing the names of the women that each one of them had been sleeping with.
Oh, wow. So, you know, this is interesting, Baxton, because, you know, if the senators seem to be upset and the allegations, which are, you know, they're out there, the allegations are that Pete Hegseth likes to drink and he likes to fool around with the ladies. So if they really want to go down that path, okay, let's have that conversation with all those senators, because I suspect that there are plenty of guys up on Capitol Hill that would be running for the hills, Baxton.
Listen, not only that, but they, some of them, a whole lot of them, believe me, Todd, I know, a whole lot of them are involved in some of the most heinous acts that anybody could ever imagine.
They say they love Jesus on Sunday, but they're hitting the bottle on Monday.
I think President Trump's going to get who he wants, and I pity them, because they're going to be leaving one by one whenever Trump takes over, because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out about them. That's why they're fighting so hard. The ones that are screaming the loudest are the guiltiest.
Like a stuck pig, Baxton.
My words, Todd, they're going down, and they know it.
All right. All right, Baxton, thanks for that call, and thanks for listening to us. Hang tight. We got Don in Fair Play, South Carolina. We'll talk to Don when we come back from the break here. We have a little bit more time. But I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about Pete Hegseth? You've seen him on Fox. Maybe you've read his book. You've read what President Trump said about him. And I've known the guy for years, and the Pete Hegseth that all the anonymous people are talking about, that's not the Pete Hegseth I know, and not one bit. By the way, we've got an update on this Alabama town. They're wanting to have a Christmas parade, and the gays are wanting to take over. We're going to tell you about that. We have a major development there. Also, this crazy story out of New York City, United Healthcare CEO. We have some developments there, too. That is insanely weird. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Exercise and a healthy diet can help, but that can be hard, especially as we start to get older. It's like the choice between taking the stairs or waiting for the elevator. Sometimes the easier option can be tempting. But just like choosing to take the stairs, you can choose to get a variety of 31 whole fruit and vegetable ingredients. Balance of Nature supplements are formulated from the best ingredients available, and it's as easy as taking 3 fruits and 3 veggies capsules every day. It's a small commitment, but it can help you feel your best. Start your journey with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
You know, I try not to post too much on my personal Facebook page. I try to keep politics out of the personal Facebook page because we have the massive page. What, over 360,000 of you follow us on the Facebook. But I couldn't help with Houston's, Ben. I know, you know, it's always the weird small things that really set you off. It's not the fact that we've got people getting shot in the streets every day. But by God, when they shut down Houston's, my beloved restaurant, that's when I lose.
Todd, I have something we have to share with you. We just got your McDonald's because I know typically this hour you like your Houston's, you like your chicken tender, you like your spinach dip. They just brought McDonald's by because that's about the only restaurant we have left. So enjoy that number two.
Somebody got knifed in the drive-thru at McDonald's a few weeks ago. And I did ask this. How many more businesses will shut down or relocate because City Hall coddles criminals? Want to know why people aren't going downtown? Because they don't want their cars stolen or their windows busted out. They refuse to address crime in downtown, midtown, or any other part of the city. Now East Memphis has become ground zero for the criminals. Meanwhile, Mayor Paul Young says the problem is KWAM radio reporting about crime. He says crime is at an all-time low, and the problem is a perception issue. Is that what we're dealing with, a perception issue?
Well, I'll ask your listeners this. I grew up in a very nice suburb. It was patriotic. Everybody bled the red, white, and blue. Todd brings me to Memphis, Tennessee. I'd never been to Memphis before. I have now, since living here, just around 3 years, I have walked into about 15 crime scenes just walking to my parking garage. Is that normal, you guys? I mean, that's what I'm asking. I'm not even deterred. I just step over a dead body. I don't even think twice about it.
Oh, you did do that once. I remember that.
No, I've been escorted out of my building a couple times because I walk out and I walk right into the crime scene.
We don't bleed. We just bleed red here and a lot of it.
Not red. Or just red, not blue and white.
Wow. All right. Anyway, I'm still fired up. But again, fair warning, all of you folks, if you have a city like Memphis and they're not addressing crime, it's coming to your suburbs. It'll happen. And then you're going to have big issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because these criminals aren't stupid. They know what's going down at those country clubs.
Well, because Todd's always trying to get me to leave downtown. But my problems have now become Todd's problems because I have no restaurants. Now Todd has no restaurants. We're both going to have... Yeah. Where are we moving?
Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Let's go to Don in Fairplay, South Carolina, WDUN, our great affiliate. Now, Don, I understand you're a Navy veteran and you want to weigh in on Pete Hegseth.
Vietnam War. 1 year on the same ship. Pete Hegseth should be a national hero. He volunteered. Nobody led him by the hand and said, go over here. Then he stayed. Most Americans were sitting in Wendy's and having their Big Macs and all of that stuff. Meanwhile, he was eating K rations, C rations. He's a national hero. Most Americans, unless they're volunteers, have no idea what it's like. Watching your brother get blown up next to you. What do you do? How do you handle that? That's PTSD. What happened to John? He's in 1,000 different pieces. That's what it's about. None of these people have any idea, these Senate people, what it is. They need to go over there like Lindsey Graham did and experience combat. Lindsey Graham is an Air Force colonel who retired, and he experienced it. These people are a disgrace, Todd. Disgrace. And please tell them that they're a disgrace. I was volunteering to go back, and I'm 81 years old.
Well, I'll tell you this, Don, and God bless you. Thank you for your service. And you sound like you're ready to jump right back into battle if they needed you. And you're just a good red-blooded American man. And I'm with you on Pete Hegseth and all this other stuff. Like, well, he drinks. Well, Hegseth says he doesn't have a drinking problem, and I believe him. But even if he was out there having a beer or whatever, you know what? He put on the uniform of the country, Don. And if he wants to have a beer, then God bless him. Have a beer, sir.
Todd, let me interject. What do the people think while we're out there for a year in the Afghan desert doing? The military provides a drink.
There you go.
I was on the ship. I was on the ship. And you have the EM Club and the Officers Club. There's nothing else to do but drink. Otherwise, you go out of your mind. These people, Todd, pass the message on. These people have no idea what it's like to be in the military. They saw it on TV. But when you're doing nothing in Vietnam, what they issued beer to guys. They don't know what they're talking about. They need to encourage them to find out what the real world is like. War is hell. Now you're sitting in the jungle, it's 99 degrees. You can't have a beer? Todd, you're a great guy. Pass the word on.
Don, God bless you, sir. And again, thank you for your service. Wow. Don said what needed to be said. All right. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Dalton Glasscock, the CEO of my great company. And Dalton, I know you're in Washington today. Got a question for you. Are you seeing any government workers out there by any chance?
First off, I would say I'm very glad I'm not in Memphis today, solely because I wouldn't want to have to deal with you being hungry after the closure of Houston.
No, I'm hangry. I'm hangry right now.
You are hangry. I hear it. I think all your listeners hear your voice today.
It's you've been to Houston's. I mean, it's a great restaurant. It's kind of where everybody goes. You know, it's just it's really nice, and the people are friendly, and they always fill up your iced tea glass.
Yeah, I mean, they have good, you know, they have good spin dip and some good appetizers, but I think every single time I visited Memphis, you've taken me to Houston. So I don't know where we're going to go now. I guess you have to cook at your house or something.
Hey, Dalton, we were planning our Christmas party for the company yesterday, and we literally said we're going to Houston. So that's where it was going to be. So now we're out of a venue. There will be no Christmas because there is no Houston's.
Son of a biscuit eater.
We can always do maybe McDonald's. There has to be some good fast food places we could take y'all.
Oh, geez, Alou. It's unfortunate. Dalton, interesting story out of the New York Post today. Only 6% of federal workers show up in person on a full-time basis. This is coming from a Senate report. I know they're talking about this today with the big DOGE meeting up on Capitol Hill. But that could explain. The last time I was in Washington, it just seemed like a ghost town. Nobody was there.
I mean, Todd, are you shocked? When I worked for the House of Representatives, what I found most interesting was I did constituent services for the great congressman from Kansas, Congressman Ron Estes. And most of the time that I was trying to communicate with members of the federal bureaucracy, it would take me days to get somebody on the phone. And there are some departments that only communicated via fax machine. I don't even know how to operate a fax. And so our government is not being responsive to people, especially in the federal level.
So according to Senator Joni Ernst, she says that with government buildings are now averaging an occupancy rate of 12%. If federal workers can't be found at their desks, exactly where are they and what are they doing? And I think that's a pretty fair question.
Todd, you know what would solve this? And, you know, President Trump did this previously as well, is relocating a lot of our federal agencies back to America and the heartland of America. Take power out of Washington, D.C., and put it in communities that are actually serviced. So when we talk about Department of Agriculture, it should be in the Midwest. When we talk about Department of Veteran Affairs, it could be in a different location than D.C. We need to serve our entire country, not just consolidate power in Washington, D.C.
Well, yes, exactly. And that makes perfect sense. Again, the Department of Agriculture, have it in Kansas. Veterans, I was going to say Tennessee, but we've got an – I don't know if you guys heard the story.
I would say give it to Texas. Give that one to Texas.
Well, look, have you heard the story about what happened, though, at the VA hospital? Apparently, we've been having orgies here in the great state of Tennessee.
I don't even know what to say to that. You kind of left me speechless. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that to be part of our conversation today. Didn't prep me for that.
But again, it's according to the New York Post, one of our Tennessee VA hospitals facilities. They're investigating an official who had sex with 32 coworkers, including apparently many at the same time.
Now we know why nothing's getting done in the VA. That's the only thing getting done.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. It's about.
Well, hey, when you only show up to work 6% of the time, or you know, only 6% of the people show up full time, you have a lot of free time to do some other activities.
Clearly, you do. This is the Mountain Home VA Medical Center over in Eastern Tennessee, and they're saying one employee had sex with 32 different coworkers, and at least 12 of them took part in an orgy at the office.
How is DOGE going to address that? I want to know what the report before Congress starting that is.
Get some wet wipes.
Yeah, gross. You know,
geez, alone.
Oh, God.
And that's interesting because the trend with people asking for remote work is really interesting. You know, I have put in my request to do some remote work for the station.
And what have I said?
No, and I'm so mad about it. I'm now looking at federal government jobs because I want to work, you know, 2 days in the office and the rest at home in my pajamas.
You know, Dalton, I am curious. I mean, in your other part of your life, you're a city councilman in Wichita. Looking at the government and how just bloated it is, I don't think they're going to have a very difficult time just going in and finding things that need to be, you know, chopped. But when it comes to employees, again, I don't understand. If your job cannot be done, you know, is not being done in the office, do you really need to be doing that job?
You know, there are some opportunities for remote work. However, there is something very important about working with your colleagues and seeing people face to face. And I think that is incredibly important, especially for individuals in government. When you're, you know, working at members of the VA, you're working in Department of Justice. Being able to be in person, especially with sensitive documents in a lot of our agencies, I think is very needed. I think there's a worry that I have that a lot of these individuals are handling secret documents, are handling documents that shouldn't be released to the public and people's personal information, and they're doing it from their home, which we don't know the security of their home. And I think that's going to be a challenge moving forward, too. And I don't know how we haven't addressed that since COVID.
That's actually a fair point. Dalton Glasscock on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in Washington, D.C. Are you noticing when you went to D.C., have you noticed it's just there? It's like there's nobody there. It's almost like a ghost town.
It is quiet today. Granted, it's also freezing up here, and so I wouldn't want to be outside most of the day either. But it is much more quiet than it was here, you know, when I was here pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, you would walk in and, you know, you had people in shops, and it just seems a little bit more empty than it did back then.
It does. All right, Dalton, thank you again. Good hearing from you, and safe travels.
I'll report back from D.C. Anything else you want to hear the rest of the week.
All right, very good. Dalton Glasscock, ladies and gentlemen, our guy in D.C. today. And yeah, that does make sense. The last time I was there it was for the Barrett Media Conference, and we were at George Washington University. Now, the university packed with people. But outside of that, there's nobody there. Nobody at all. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, your reaction to this. Again, the New York Post saying only 6% of federal workers are actually showing up in person. Should government employees be required to work in the office? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, Kimberly Guilfoyle is my special guest. She'll be joining me at 5 o'clock. You can watch on Newsmax, too. By the way, Rob Schmidt keeps beating CNN in the ratings. That's right. Rob is now Newsmax's number one host. Just had a bigger audience than CNN during any hour of the day, which is huge news. And that's because millions of Americans like you are now making the switch to Newsmax. You're getting real facts, no BS, no spin, just the truth. Even President Trump watches Newsmax, and you should too. Rob Schmidt and Newsmax on all major cable systems. YouTube TV just added us. And if your system does not carry Newsmax, give them a call and cancel. Go to GetNewsmax.com if you want to find a new carrier. We will help you do that. GetNewsmax.com. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're going to get to the UFOs in the next hour. This is bizarre. People are really freaking out over these giant car-sized UFOs that have been spotted over New Jersey, and people trying to figure out what's going on. In the meantime, we do have some crime news to share with you.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Largo, Florida. A Florida woman, you know, Dieter, it's always the Florida man or the Florida woman. A Florida woman became enraged because she did not get sauce from Raising Cane's. She was arrested after confronting a manager at the fast food restaurant. I hear Raising Cane's is actually very good.
I've never seen it. I can't get over the mugshot. She's one of the purple hair magenta people.
Well, it's weird. Like, the bangs are magenta on this one. And then she's got, like, the Golden Girls blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. It's not a good look for her.
What would you do for a client? It's like, what would you do for a Klondike bar? What would you do for Raising Cane's sauce? I guess she didn't get her 8-pack of sauce.
Mackenzie Keeling, age 31, became upset after placing a mobile pickup order and discovered she was missing 8 packs of Raising Cane sauce. Police said that she called the restaurant and said she was returning because she wanted her sauce. Now, here's the problem with the local news coverage here. They don't say what kind of sauce she was demanding.
I'm just going to go out there and say it was barbecue tangy sauce.
Officials said that, or officers said, Keeling became hostile both verbally and physically and was yelling in the restaurant and disturbing staff and customers. The defendant then shot out her right hand with force, and she struck the victim on her right thigh. I'm assuming this was a human and not a chicken. Wow, there you go. So anyway, that story there, she's been charged with strong arm robbery. Apparently, she left a bruise there when she hit the woman's thigh, and she is now out on bond. All right. Another crazy story. Dina, where do you find these stories? This from the Daily Mail. A naked man got tasered.
Lasered would be rough in this case.
That would be terrible. This happened in, this is an international version. This happened in Australia, Perth, Australia. Happened at a busy nightclub. A young man facing court after an alleged late-night violent rampage that ended when police tasered the man. And apparently he had lost his clothes.
Butt naked.
Yeah, he was butt naked.
In his birthday suit, according to this affidavit, wearing nothing, just socks.
Well, you got to wear socks because you don't, you know, and there's stuff on the sidewalks. You don't want to get your feet dirty.
He said it stunned dozens of the people standing by the incident. I'm sure it did. Mm-hmm. It stunned him as well.
He can be heard shrieking in pain after he went, where did they taser the guy? That's what I want to know. What were they aiming for?
Oh, my gosh, Todd. Don't scroll down in the video. There's a video. How isn't this censored? I need to blur that out a little bit.
Well, it's Australia. They're a little bit more open down under, if you know what I mean. There you go. All right. I guess he's doing okay, because when they hauled him into jail, he was sticking out his tongue. Well, among other things. The guy was butt naked. All right. Hang tight, everybody. If you're on hold, we're going right to your calls coming up after this break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Hour three of the big show today. We trust you are doing well. This afternoon, big meeting in Washington, D.C. You've got Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. They'll be meeting with lawmakers to talk about ways to cut government spending, and they're estimating as much as $2 trillion in spending they can knock away. What do you think about this report, though? Only 6% of government workers are actually showing up. Everybody else is working from home. What would you do if that was your business? I mean, geez, Lou. By the way, our telephone number, if you want to weigh in this hour, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, Dorothy is calling in from North Carolina and wants to weigh in on Pete Hegseth. Hi, Dorothy. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just calling to say that Hegseth is probably suffering from PTSD. But I don't, and he just needs to get some help, hopefully. But he's not qualified for that position he's nominated for.
Why is he? And why would you say he's not qualified, Dorothy?
He's not qualified. He has been in the service. Y'all are making excuses for this man. I believe he did the things that he's accused of doing.
Do you have proof? Let's take one of those things. What do you think he is accused of doing?
His own mother says he's violent or whatever towards women. And
no.
Then he was supposedly in a hotel, and now she's trying to retract what she says, but what she emailed him is what was really going on.
No. Dorothy, the mother was on Fox and Friends yesterday explaining all of this, and as she explained it to the New York Times, that she wrote a letter to her son telling him that he needed to treat women better. She wasn't alleging that he did anything violent. But the very next day, she wrote a follow-up email, and the New York Times refused to include that follow-up email in their story. So they didn't have the full story there.
Oh, but the story is that she emailed him initially.
Well, sure, like any mom
really
would do.
Felt.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, I do believe that he did what he, otherwise he wouldn't have paid someone off to not talk about it. He was with another woman in the hotel. That's his business if he wants to do that. But for some office like this that they're nominating him for, he should have better character. He doesn't have the right character to be in that. But I'm not surprised, because look at who the president-elect is, everything he's done. But all I'm saying is they have better choices.
What about William Jefferson Clinton, Dorothy? He sexually assaulted interns in the Oval Office.
No, that's alleged.
Alleged? He admitted it. He admitted it, Dorothy.
Whatever. I'm not going to.
What do you mean, whatever? No, no. Why not? You called into the show here.
You asked me my opinion about the headpiece, and then I really wanted to talk about the employees working at home instead of the office. I wanted to comment about that as well, because I feel like it's been going on for all other administrations, so why is it a major point of emphasis now?
Because my tax dollars are paying for it.
Right. Our tax dollars was paying for it before. So what's the big deal now?
The big deal is that there's a lot. Do you believe the government is bloated, that we're spending money on things we don't need to be spending money on?
Sometimes I think that's true, but I don't think we should be cutting back programs such as Medicaid, Medicare, child care expenses. I don't think we should be cutting back on those programs, Social Security.
There was a time, a long time ago, well, it wasn't all that long ago, in the 70s and 80s, when you had moms that stayed home and raised the kids, and then you had dads that went out and worked.
Yeah, but you can't do that now. People, in order
Why not?
For people to make it, most people have, be for real.
No, I'm as real as they come.
Most families now cannot afford for the mom to stay at home, and that's basically white moms during that time.
Wait, white moms? White moms?
Basically, okay. Basically, you have to.
Are you a racist, Dorothy, or a bigot?
No, but you
brought up race.
I did, because I'm a black person, and I know that you can't just stay home and let your dad go out and work, or your mom. My mother and father had to work. That doesn't make me a racist. I'm just being for real.
Well, you brought up white women. You know, I don't understand. Why did you bring up white women?
It's because one of my best friends is a white girl.
You've got friends who are white. I see. Okay, well, that's good.
Like you all say. Just like you people say.
You people. You people. What do you mean by you people?
Yes. You and people, others. But anyway, I just
you
want
to say it.
Say
I'm a cracker, a saltine American.
No, I'm not going to say that. You said it, not me.
But you were thinking it, Dorothy.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't thinking that.
Dorothy. Look,
okay,
here's the deal.
Anyway, you have a great
all
day.
All right, thank you for thanks for calling in, Dorothy. What are you laughing at, Dieter?
I kind of want to set you and Dorothy up on a date. Was that not fun to listen to?
Wow.
Todd and Dorothy. I would eavesdrop on that dinner conversation.
But again, it's look, I think when it comes to Hegseth, just for a second here, and I'll mention the moms and the dads. When it comes to Hegseth, look, here's the reality. If you're going to make an accusation, you got to be man enough to stand up and do that in public. You can't be cloaking yourself in anonymity. Otherwise, you have to discount it. And that's all I'm saying. And all the other stuff, he's never been charged with a crime. So I never really got around to understanding why she thinks that Pete Hegseth is not qualified. The guy has a great degree. He went to an Ivy League school, still came out conservative. He volunteered for the military, served in combat situations. He has leadership skills, got his master's in public policy, so I'm not quite sure where does that not qualify somebody for leading the Pentagon? All right, let's go to Patty in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Patty.
Hey, I was going to talk about Houston. Now this one really got me going. Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore, okay?
She may be your neighbor. She's there in WSIC land.
Oh, my God. I hope I don't run into her. She'd be running into a white MAGA girl.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that might be a triggering event.
Wait, Patty, are you the white friend she was talking about? Are you the white friend?
And then, Dieter, I'm going to knock you on your rear end. You keep that up, okay?
All right.
Let me tell you something. All right, anyway, I want to talk about something. I was going to talk about Houston's. I was going to say, I told Vin, the best thing, you know how you could reopen it? Have Tom Holman and Trump eat there.
Oh. Tom Holman?
Yes.
He eats at Houston's?
Tom Holman.
No, have him eat there.
Oh.
Get rid of all that stench around there. You know what I'm talking about. Tom Holman comes there to eat. And guess what? Houston's reopens because nobody will be around with Tom Holman sitting there.
You see, Patty, here's the thing. We need Donald Trump to come into Memphis and fix it. I mean, honest to goodness, that's the only thing that's going to save Memphis, Tennessee.
He will. I mean, I just feel bad. I know you. I knew you were mad about something. I had no idea it was over a restaurant, though.
Patty, I take my chicken tender seriously. And they also have,
you know what?
And they had the best red beans and rice on Monday. They only served it on Monday. Red beans and rice.
Yeah. And you want to know something? I'm going to tell you something. That Houston's will reopen in 2025. Mark my words.
I hope so. All right, Patty, good hearing from you. Take care now. What did she say? She's going to knock Ben Dieter on his rear. I like that. Let's go to Steve in Jackson, Tennessee. So, Steve, you want to weigh in on this New Jersey UFO thing, and there are more videos coming out from people. We understand now these things are about the size of cars, and now we've been told that the FBI agents who are investigating, apparently they're now reporting that these unidentified objects are now over their homes. What do you make of all that?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your show. I enjoy listening to you. You certainly have a great perspective on everything, including our good Lord.
Well, thank you.
I want to tell you, we are part-time residents here. We spend the summers in northern Michigan at the tip of the Lower Peninsula. And for the last probably 3 years, go outside at night in the far northeast sky. There is a red and green light. It sets there for a little bit, and then all at once it'll jump over and move. It'll set there, and then sometimes it'll move real slow. And if you watch it for, I don't know, maybe a half an hour or an hour, it will move all the way from the northeast sky over to the east sky, and it's always in the same place, and it has a red light and it has a green light. First I thought, well, it must be a helicopter, but it's not. I don't know what it is, but it sounds similar to what they're seeing in New Jersey. But we've been seeing that for, I don't know, the last 3 years. My daughter lives right on Lake Huron. She said she can see it all the time.
Steve, I'm listening to you describe it, and that's exactly how it's been described by many, many people, you know, who have been trying to film this. And it certainly, it gives the impression of being sort of like a plane, some sort of a fixed wing aircraft, right. But it's doing things that the fixed wing aircraft could not do. So here's a theory I have. Is it possible that you could have a fixed-wing aircraft and it's some sort of a military aircraft, and that military aircraft is actually controlling these drones that are the size of automobiles? Is that possible? And could they just be doing some sort of military, you know, trying out this newfangled equipment?
Well, you know, the one that we're seeing, I mean, it is so high up. I could not tell you. I couldn't even begin to assess what size it is, or you know how big it is. All I know, I can see a red light and a green light, and it's always in almost. It starts out in almost exactly the same place every night.
It's very strange, and I'm wondering, Steve, and we'll open this up to the phones here. I'm wondering if anyone else has seen what Steve is describing. And again, he's describing this happening in Michigan. We've heard what's been happening in New Jersey. It's a great question. Steve, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for listening. Folks, we've got some pretty serious breaking news to share with you at this hour. And this is for all of our listeners out in California. There has been a major earthquake in the Northern California area. We're talking about a 7.0 magnitude earthquake. We understand that a tsunami warning has been issued for the San Francisco Bay Area. People are being ordered to head to high ground right now. So that includes the Bay Area, where residents are reporting very strong shaking and rolling waves. We understand the Transbay Tube has been closed. So again, this is a pretty serious situation out there. We're not getting report of any damage just yet, but we do understand the San Francisco Zoo, for example, has now shut down. We understand that tsunami sirens are now being sounded along the coast all the way down. This is from Bonnie Dune in Santa Cruz County. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to regroup, and we'll follow this breaking news that's happening even as you and I are speaking here. But if you are in the California along the coastline, and I want to read this to you. This is coming from the National Weather Service. A series of powerful waves and strong currents may impact coastlines near you. You are in danger. Get away from coastal waters. So there you go. That's the very latest from Northern California. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so the U.S. Geological Survey now saying that this is a magnitude 7 earthquake shaking parts of Humboldt County. So we're talking about Northern California, Southern Oregon, and there are tsunami warnings in effect all the way down into the Bay Area. So that would be San Francisco, and they're telling people to evacuate. So if you live along the coastal area, you need to evacuate. There are some damage reports coming in as well. The Victoria Inn, it was so strong it knocked this massive door, their front door, off and caused big problems in the a lot of broken glass in the bar area. So that is certainly not good. So we'll keep you updated on any sort of developments, but this is a pretty serious situation as they're concerned now about a tsunami. And the earthquake itself, we believe, was off the coastline. It was a pretty shallow quake, which means that this could lead to a tsunami of some impact. Now, the warning includes coastal areas of California and Oregon from Davenport to 10 miles northwest of Santa Cruz. Jeez, Lou. All right. So hang in there, folks. And we are monitoring. So any reports of damage, we will let you know. But right now, I think the big concern is whether or not there's going to be some sort of a tsunami. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So the Adam Kinziger now saying that he's getting death threats. We have some audio here I want you to take a listen to.
Kind of piggybacking on this, despite Trump's personal attacks against you and promises of retribution, not to mention many death threats that you have received since you have been speaking out, you say that you have zero fear of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Look,
I should say.
I've been to war, okay? Donald Trump, I'm not trying to just be partisan shots here. He is a small, weak man who is scared to death of people. He's scared to death of strong people. And so for me, I refuse to be intimidated. I didn't break the law. All I did was get answers for the American people. If you want to come after me, you have to make something up. And by the way, if you make something up, I'm going to use that and become twice the pain in your backside that I ever have been if you're going to come after me for no reason. And the American people won't stand for it.
I'm a bigger man than Donald Trump is. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you're not Adam Kinziger. I'm pretty certain that's not. I don't think that's going to. Not going to work. All right. There you go, folks. Hang tight. We've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. Hey, head over to ToddStarnes.com if you've got a few seconds and sign up for our free newsletter, our free podcast. Great resources for you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
So, Dieter, this earthquake, San Francisco Chronicle's got a major, they've got a huge headline. Powerful earthquake rattles Northern California. Tsunami could reach San Francisco at 12:10 Pacific time. There is damage. We just don't know how much. There's a lot. This is a huge area. It's a 7 magnitude 7.0 quake. But Dieter, here's what gets me. So they're doing these little blurbs, these little updates. They're saying schools in Pacifica, California are evacuating right now. And then the reporter wrote, Vallejo schools said people can pick up kids if they want.
So meaning if your kid's a little twerp and you want to just leave them?
Leave the kid there.
You have that option.
Let the kid get washed out to sea.
You know what this reminds me of, Todd? It reminds me of my biggest fear after watching San Andreas, that movie with Dwayne The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and it was in the aftermath of that massive earthquake in California. Remember, he was on like the rescue chopper, the pilots like flying in to get his ex-wife. This is my biggest fear.
That's your ex-wife in a helicopter?
Well, that, but also the fact that you would choose to live on a fault line. Like, is it the San Andreas fault line? It's crazy. I know we're on one right here in Memphis. People need to think about these things twice.
Years ago, I mean, this was like in the last century, you had the fault line here. We had a big earthquake in Memphis or in the Memphis area, and it was so powerful, the Mississippi River flowed backwards and actually created a real foot lake. If I know my history, I may have gotten my history a little bit wrong there, but yeah, we've got a fault line here. And as a matter of fact, all the new buildings in Memphis have to be built to withstand an earthquake. I think if the earthquake hits Memphis, we're all screwed, basically.
I can't even imagine. I mean, what's scarier to you, the earthquake or the tsunami? Like, remember watching the footage from Japan and that massive earthquake, and then you saw those billowing waves that were just ginormous that absolutely destroyed that.
I'd rather have the tsunami than the earthquake, because at least you can see that coming.
Well, someone is now reporting that it was actually Lizzo, Todd, that was just rehearsing.
Oh, that's unfair.
I know.
She's been on Ozempic. She's lost like 600 pounds.
No, we can confirm it was not Lizzo practicing and rehearsing with her flute. We can confirm that.
Really inappropriate. So we're getting some reports of damage, but not much. But these swimming pools, that's what gets me. You've got these swimming pools, and the swimming pools have white caps. That's insanity. So there is damage in Humboldt. There's also some damage being reported in Davis, California. That's near Sacramento. And that's about all we can tell you at this point. So at least according to the Associated Press, this just coming in, at least 5.3 million people in California are under a tsunami warning as a result of the earthquake. They predict localized damage, but minimal. Oh, that's good news. So some of those areas, you know, you have the cliffs, so it's not like you've got a major population there living along the coastline. But it's a fair point. Why would you want to live in an area that has earthquakes all the time? That's a fair question.
And also, those are people, I don't want to stereotype the people in the Bay Area, but they just seem like the last people on this planet that could withstand something of this scale. Like, if it happened to middle America and flyover country, those people have all of the first aid kits. They have all of the food that they're storing in their basements, the canned goods. The people in San Francisco and Los Angeles, where the San Andreas Fault is, would they be able to survive? It's just something I think about. I don't know. Maybe they're prepared for something like this.
You know, it's kind of like the people who live in, on the beach. And then they get surprised when the hurricanes come and their home floats down to Cuba. And then our tax dollars have to bail them out. And then they rebuild on the beach again. And then another hurricane comes and, you know, their house floats down to, I don't know, Nicaragua. And then we got to, you know, use our tax money to rebuild their house again. Mm-hmm. At some point you say, maybe you shouldn't be building your house on the beach.
Yeah.
Favorite story. I was talking to an old timer once. We were up in the mountains and, we were talking about how this was, oh gosh, this would have been in the 1990s when people were really starting to relocate to the North Georgia, Western North Carolina mountain area. And they would build these massive homes on the sides, literally on the sides of these mountains. And the old timers, I asked the old timers, what do you guys think about all these city folks coming up and they're building these homes and tearing down the trees and they're building on the sides of these mountains? And the guys were, the old timers were like, man, we love this. And I'm like, really? Really? You love? They go, oh, yeah. They said, that property we sold them is absolutely worthless. You can't grow anything up there. There's not enough dirt. You can't grow crops. And he said, the reality is, these yahoos from the city don't realize that when you build a house in the mountains, on the side of a mountain, and there's a lot of heavy rain, guess what happens, Ben Dieter?
It flattens.
The house, you have the landslides, mm-hmm. and then the house slides right off the mountain, and these people are shocked because they're like, oh, geez, hello, woe is me, my home just slid off the mountainside. Well, maybe you shouldn't have built your house on the side of a mountain.
Hey, stop. The views are great, Todd. You're just
great
jealous.
Views.
Yeah, great views, especially when your whole house is sliding down a mountain.
I mean,
fantastic.
It just cracks me. I mean, in all seriousness, though, you've got folks that are literally building homes on the beachfront.
And these are the same people that believe in climate change.
Oh, that's true.
And so if you believe that we're losing our shorelines because the tides keep on rising, why on earth would you then build your home right there if you believe in climate change?
Yeah. It's a fair question.
There was a song that we learned in Sunday school. What was it? Something about the wise man builds his house upon the rock. I'm butchering this. And the foolish man built it on the sand. And when the rains came, it went splat. Something like that. They should be in Sunday school.
That was me. That's not the King James version.
All right.
Thank you for that. So anyway, I know people get upset about this, but I have often wondered, why do we have to keep bailing out people who continue to build their homes and their towns in hurricane zones? I just don't get that. But anyway, that's just me. Can we talk about this? What happened to this executive at United Healthcare? This is a crazy story. So it's looking like Brian Thompson, he was the head official, the top executive at United Healthcare. And, you know, Ben, this is fascinating. People are not very sympathetic here. They're basically saying this guy got what he had coming to him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really disgusting because he represents big corporations and big pharma and all of the insurance companies. So I guess they view this as a win for the little guy.
The New York Times actually wrote a story about the blowback, and it is not a very sympathetic story. One person commented, thoughts and deductibles to the family. Unfortunately, my condolences are out of network. One TikTok user wrote, I'm a nurse in the ER, and the things I've seen dying patients get denied for by insurance makes me physically sick. I just can't feel sympathy for him because of all those patients and their families. And that seems to be the argument here. This guy, according to the New York Times, United Healthcare is valued at $281 billion a year. And this guy makes $10.2 million. That's his compensation package annually. $10.2 million. So basically, the argument is, oh, yeah, this guy is basically, he was asking for it. So the question now is, who did this? We can now confirm that the bullet casings, there were words written on the bullet casings, delay and deny. This is fascinating. That tells me either this was a professional hit or this is somebody who was maybe a family member, a loved one, was denied insurance coverage, and they decided to take it out on the chief executive officer of United Healthcare. Do you feel sorry for this guy, folks? I mean, if you read the news coverage, we're not supposed to be feeling sorry for this guy. He got what he deserved. That seems to be the argument here. So they've got video. It looks like the guy is of pale skin. I don't know if he's a white dude or not, but he is of light. He's a light-skinned complexion guy in a hoodie and a backpack who got away on one of those bikes that you've got to rent. Again, according to the New York Times, the words deny and delay were written on the bullet casings. They still have not been able to identify, but they do believe that the gun was purchased in Connecticut. So there you go. That's the latest there. Oh, they say the guy used a silencer as well. So, all right, 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, the city of Berkeley, California, now ordering a mandatory evacuation after this 7.0 magnitude earthquake. And tsunami warnings are now sounding in Humboldt, California. So there you go. The orders from Berkeley, leave now. This also includes anybody who lives, for those of you listening to us in the Bay Area, evacuate all areas west of 7th Street, including Interstate 80. So Marin County also now issuing a tsunami warning, and people are getting these messages by phone now. You know, if you're, I don't know if you've been in a large gathering and you're one of those alerts goes off and it's a little freaky, but well, there you go. So the good news is doesn't appear to be a lot of major damage as far as buildings collapsing, but you know, a lot of broken glass and things of that nature. Hey, can we talk about Daniel Penny for just a moment? So Daniel Penny is the young guy. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He was on a subway car in New York City when this guy named Jordan Neely completely lost his mind. And this guy was actually wanted. There was a warrant out for his arrest, this Jordan Neely guy. He was on the train. He was threatening to kill people. And a lot of it was mostly women on the train, and they were all terrified. So Mr. Penny steps in, puts a guy in a chokehold, and gets him on the ground. And then Jordan Neely dies. So anyway, Daniel Penny is now on trial for murder. And we've been waiting for the jury. The jury's been deliberating for a couple of days now. And we still have no verdict. And so a lot of people are wondering what in the world is going on. Could be a hung jury. I mean, that could be the issue here. But it seems to me that this guy is a hero. And this Neely guy, he's the dead guy, a 30-year-old homeless man with schizophrenia, high on drugs, was shouting death threats, and he was literally saying somebody was going to die today. And he didn't care if he was going to prison. And that's when Penny stepped in, and he did what any good Marine would do. Neely also had an active arrest warrant at the time of his death. He was high on K2, and he had a very long criminal record going back to a 2021 assault on a 67-year-old woman on another subway station. By the way, the parents of Jordan Neely now suing Daniel Penny. What they didn't want to say, and you're not going to see a lot of this in the news coverage, it turns out that the guy, Jordan Neely's parents, actually kicked him out of the house, which is why he was homeless. Maybe Penny needs to sue them. So anyway, I'm telling you, folks, I don't know why it's taking the jury so long to come back with a verdict here, because the guy did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, Daniel Penny deserves a medal. That's what he deserves. Unbelievable. All right, I want to play some audio here. Congressman Pat Fallon, great American patriot, been on this show many times, grilling the Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe, today. And it turns out that the Secret Service Director appeared at a 9/11 memorial event, not as the head of security, but as a dignitary. Take a listen to Cut 3.
Were you the special agent in charge of the detail that day?
Actually, let me address this. Could you please, staff, leave that? Oh, no, leave that one up with the circle around me. Thank you. So actually, Congressman, what you're not seeing is the sack of the detail off out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero. I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. I was there at Fresh Kills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking
there,
you,
Congressman.
Were you the special agent in charge?
To show respect
you not.
For a Secret Service member that died on 9/11.
Oh, that you're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
Oh, I'm not. I'm invoking this.
You are, sir.
Gentlemen,
and you are out of line.
I would like to ask him a question.
Please.
You are out of line, Congressman.
Don't try to bully me. Order. I am an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing
politics. I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you won't answer the question.
On our day, on our country's darkest day.
Committee will come to order. Committee will come to order.
I'm asking you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Were you the special agent in charge that
day? No, I wasn't. I was there representing the United States Secret Service, sir.
Mr. Fallon, your time's expired.
It did not affect protective operations.
You know why you were there? Because you wanted to be visible, because you are listening for this
job. I was there to pay respect for a fallen member of this agency.
You endangered President Biden's life,
Congressman.
Vice President Harris's life, because you put those agents out of position.
Mr. Chairman.
Because you have a radio with you.
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired.
You have a weapon.
No,
I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Well, I think we could all agree that the Secret Service is a hot mess, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. It just went on and on and on. But to the congressman's point, your job in the Secret Service is to protect. It's not to be a dignitary. It's not to be a special guest of honor. Your job is to put yourself into harm's way, to protect somebody. And clearly, that's not being done right now. Unbelievable. You know, Ben, I want to go back to this earthquake story. There, CBS has a helicopter up, and the lines, the cars, there's massive traffic jams on the interstate. People trying to get to high ground here. They're really concerned that there is going to be a tsunami. As a matter of fact, in Northern California right now, there is now a report of a small landslide, some trees coming down. Oh, there it goes. I'm watching some of the video there. But people are really getting nervous about what's going to happen in the aftermath of this big earthquake. Unbelievable. So we'll keep you updated on that, and I'm sure your local news radio station will have information at the top of the hour. Local news in San Francisco now reporting damage should be minimal, but they are expecting some waves to come in. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to keep you updated on that story. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Kimberly Guilfoyle is going to be joining us talking about the administration and the transition team. Lots of moving parts. Of course, we're going to have to keep our eyes on Pete Hegseth. And that nomination, if you haven't already done so, folks, you need to be calling your senators. Call them every single day. Every single day, and let them know that you want them to confirm Pete Hegseth. We've got to keep up the heat, keep up the pressure on these Republicans in the U.S. Senate. We got to do it, folks. We just got to do it. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. Folks, in the meantime, be sure to head over to the website, toddstearns.com. We'll be posting some new stories later today. And again, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show. Get out there. Have a good one. You folks out in California, be safe today.